people from Jerusalem and from every section of Judea and from all over the Jordan Valley went out to the wilderness to hear him preach. All the people went. Isn't that amazing? They were all amazed. Now, how did all these people come out here to hear him preach? Who do you think moved on their heart to get them to come out there? The Lord did, of course. God did. He had a message for them to hear. And so the Father moved on their hearts. And they went out to the wilderness to hear him preach. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Now, what was his message? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, why don't he talk about something else? He didn't talk about nothing else. He had one message. Do you think you would have got tired of hearing this same message every time you went out there? You bunch of sinners, repent and turn from your wicked ways and start serving Jesus. Maybe you wouldn't have a very big church for sure if that's all you preached every Sunday. You'd be like the guy that they hired a guy to come in to preach in his Baptist church. And he went in and they had listened to him preaching. They thought, man, this guy's a good preacher. So he came in and he preached a message. And man, they thought, that's a great message. Well, the next Sunday he preached exactly the same message. They thought, no, that's strange. He preached that message last Sunday. And so the next Sunday, for about six Sundays in a row, he preached the same exact message. And finally, the deacon said, that's it. We've got to have a board meeting. So they got him in on Sunday night after church and said, now, you know, that message is a good message. We like it. But don't you have another one? Oh, he said, I got hundreds of them. Well, why don't you preach a new one? He said, as soon as y'all start doing what I told you to do in this one, I'll preach another one. You think that's kind of the way God deals with us? He tells us what to do when we obey, then he tells us something else. But if we don't hear what he's saying and obey what he's saying, then we keep on right where we are, or we get worse. And so that's what I've told many a person, you know, that I've had trouble getting them healed, that if you're not getting better, there's still a sin. If you're getting worse, there's some kind of a sin that you have not got, that God's not got your attention. So you need to ask him, what did I do wrong? And then make sure that you're willing to humble yourself before him and get rid of that sin. And then you'll get healed. He'll do it every time. Now, sometimes it's tough, you know, to confess a sin. You say, but Lord, I don't want to confess that sin. Well, he said, that's okay. You don't have to confess it. You can go ahead and die if you want to. I will go ahead and take you out. But hey, if you want to live, you have to do it his way. That's the same problem we have with little Gina, I believe it was, out there in Oregon. We had that. We could not get that little girl here. We prayed for her. Everybody in this ministry center prayed for that little girl until they found that sin. When they found their sin and then they confessed the sin, I mean, just like we kept telling them, every time they called back, we were telling them the same thing. You got a sin. You got a sin. They got tired of hearing that. You got a sin in your life. You need to find out what it is. Well, this is what John's telling them. You got sin in your life. You need to repent of those sins and come to God. Well, that's what we tell them too. And so praise God, whenever they finally hear it and they do it and repent of the sin, then we pray the prayer of faith and little Gina in 2 weeks was healed. It's so awesome. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River, verse 7 and 8. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to be baptized, he denounced them. He said, you brood of snakes. Now, what would you think if you come down the aisle saying, I want to repent of my sins, and the pastor said, you brood of snakes? Uh-oh. That might offend you, right, Lucille? Would that offend you? You brood of snakes? What do you mean coming down here? Repent first before you come down here to be baptized. Wow. John was tough, wasn't he? He was tough. He said, you're coming to be bad. He denounced them, you brood of snakes. He explained, who warned you to flee God's coming judgment? Now, why was God's judgment coming upon us? Because of sin. That's the whole thing, sin. God's judgment was coming because of sin. He says, prove by the way you live that you have really turned from your sins and turned to God. Oh, so I come down and confess my sin, and I want to get free of my sin, but I'm living with a girl outside of wedlock, and so I come in and say, Lord, I'm sorry for that sin, but I go back home to her tonight, and I sleep with her again tonight. I don't think I repented, did I? No. Do you think God's going to hear my prayer? No, not at all. When he says repent, when I come down and say, Lord, I realize, or what, maybe it could be anything, lying or whatever. Lord, I've been lying profusely to my wife. you know, I don't tell her the truth because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to tell her where I spend my money or what I do. It's not her business. So, Lord, when she asks me something, I just tell her something that makes her feel good. So you're lying to your wife. So then you find out God hates liars. Uh-oh, now I'm in trouble. If God hates liars, so I say, okay, I come down and John's preaching and he says, repent, you sinner. And I say, okay, Lord, I repent of my sins. And I go home and Cheryl says, where did you spend this $50? And I said, well, I bought this with it. And I lied again. Did I really repent? No. When I repented, if I come back home, she said, where'd you spend this $50? I tell her the truth. You know, I went down and bought me a big hamburger or something, you know. I mean, whatever the truth was, you know, or bought everybody in town a hamburger, I guess, or whatever, as long as it was the truth. You know, that's the whole thing, right? The truth. We got to be truthful. So we have to prove by the way you live that you've really turned from your sins. You cannot continue to live in sin and get God to do something for you. Verse 9 and 10. Don't just say we're safe, we're the descendants of Abraham. That proves nothing. God can change these stones here into children of Abraham. Now, I think John the Baptist knew the power of God, don't you? I mean, there's a rock laying right there. He said if all he wants is children, he can speak to that rock and that rock can become a living human being. Can God really do that? Oh, yeah. I mean, he can change that rock into flesh and blood, can't he? I mean, there's not anything that God can't do. I mean, you got to start thinking like God. You know, as long as you think like man, you think, yeah, rock, that rock, ain't nobody can turn that rock into a human being. The God I serve can. Guarantee you he can. He can do anything. There ain't nothing hard for him. I mean, I think of some of the things I've had the privilege to see God do. I mean, that night whenever Dr. Young called me and I prayed the prayer of faith for a man laying at home with a crushed back on a cell phone and he's in Salt Lake City, Utah, 1,000 miles away. And I prayed the prayer of faith for that guy and God instantly gave that man a brand new back. Let me tell you, if God can do that over the telephone for a man 1,000 miles away, he can do anything. You know, I mean, there's nothing hard for God. So all we got to do is step into that world of faith, get our sins repented of, and let God use us for his glory. Because I guarantee I was awestruck. When I walked in the house after that phone call, I walked in the house and I guess I must have been white as a sheet holding that phone. And Cheryl looked at me and said, what's wrong? And I couldn't even talk. She said, he's healed already, isn't he? And I nodded my head, yes. You know how awestruck I was? Awestruck. You know, that God would use me to heal a man over the telephone. Now, doesn't that make you want to see him do that more often? Yeah. Oh, I wish I could get him to do that every time I prayed for somebody. But he doesn't do that for me. But he does it enough to really whet my appetite to let me know, hey, I'm still here, guys, and I'm in control. So you better pay attention and you better repent of your sins because I'm watching you. Yeah. I had a man the other night that was sitting somewhere, and I stopped somewhere. I didn't know there was anybody in the world. I mean, I didn't know there was a car. I didn't see nothing nowhere. I stopped, got out, done something. My truck got back in and drove off, and the man told me yesterday, he said, I saw you on the side of the road up there. Did you see me? I said, no. He said, yeah, I saw you stop there, saw you get out of your truck and everything. And, you know, he said, I saw you. After he left, I thought, you know, God, I didn't think there was nobody nowhere around. I didn't see nobody sitting on the side of the road. I didn't see another car nowhere. But I thought, God, if I didn't see him and he's in a car and I can't see you ever, but you're in me, so every time I think something or do something, you automatically know exactly what I'm doing and what I'm thinking. That's scary, you know that? I go back and think of some of the sins I committed and think God was there watching me. Ooh, I'm glad to repent of, Lucille. Aren't you? Aren't you glad for the blood, girl? I'm glad for the blood. Every time Cheryl and I get to talking about some of our sins, she said, well, my favorite verse is Psalm 103, verse 12. He puts my sins as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them again. I thought, praise God. Are we glad for that, Tom? Now that if somebody said, well, I ain't never committed a sin. Well, that's the first one. That's a lie right there. So you better repent of that lie. It says, don't just say we're saved, we're the descendants of Abraham. God can change these stones into children of Abraham. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised. It's ready to sever your roots. Yes, every tree, he talks to us as a tree. We are trees. Every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. Now, does that make you want to be a good tree?
Yes.
I want, that is, if I want to live a long time, I better be a good tree producing good fruit, right? Because if I'm a good tree producing good fruit, he's going to let me live. If I don't, he's going to cut my tree down. And what he said he's going to do with it, I don't like. He's going to throw it into the fire. I don't want my tree thrown into the fire. Do you?
No.
Absolutely not. So that should make me say, Lord, anything I've done that does not please you, Lord, forgive me. I want it covered in the blood, and then help me to walk in obedience to your word. I don't want no more sin in my life. I want to walk holy in your presence. Verse 11 and 12. I baptize you with water, those who turn from their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is far greater than I am. So much greater than I am that I am not even worthy to be his slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the grain and his winnowing fork, with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, storing the grain in his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. I don't like that, do you? Now, how would you like to be the chaff or the bad tree? Every place he talks about here, he's going to burn them with a never-ending fire. Now, that sounds like hell to me, doesn't it, you? I don't believe I want to go to that place. Verse 13 and 14. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John didn't want to baptize him. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? 15 and 16. But Jesus said, it must be done, because we must do everything that is right. So then John baptized him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. It took me a long time to realize this was not a dove.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Serve Only Him, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.